In this podcast, we will look at the poem Advice to a Discarded Lover, which was written by Flair Adcock. This poem is about a dead affair, and the poet describes the different stages the lovers go through after their love affair has ended. We now look at theme. The poem explores how people who have been involved in a relationship breakup cope with the new reality of being separated from a former lover. The speaker in the poem, who is most likely Adcock herself, moves from feeling a sense of pity to being nauseated by what she calls the creeping stench of their dead and decaying relationship. However, over time, these very strong emotional reactions to the breakup ease and the pain begins to fade. The speaker will learn to live with the breakup and one day expects to look upon her former lover with less revulsion. The third heading is quote 3. Have you a favourite image or line or even stanza in this poem? Quote any 3 that you liked or thought were original or imaginative. Maybe your chosen quote captures the key idea in the poem for you, or perhaps you like the way the poet uses images of death and decay in a particular stanza. We move on now to imagery. The poet uses several memorable and striking images of death and decay in the poem. She imagines her relationship with her former lover as a dead and decaying bird. This is called an analogy, which is a comparison between two things that may at first seem very different, but are actually alike in some way. The bird analogy in the poem is very powerful. Like her dead relationship, the dead bird is crawling with maggots or wriggling, munching scavengers, as the poet calls them. There is a terrible stench from the dead bird. This is called an olfactory image. It is a difficult word, but it just means an image that focuses on the smell or odour of something. But Adcock then presents a different image of the relationship. Over time, it is less repulsive, as the carcass has been cleaned to nothing more offensive than clean bone and a few feathers. Similarly, the poet imagines her former lover's skin to be covered with maggots as he is being eaten up by self-pity. This is a tactile image, which simply means that it emphasizes how something feels when you touch it. However, over time, he too may become less repulsive or less offensive when his bones are clean. The next heading is language. Alongside the creative imagery used in the poem, Adcock also uses conversational language. For example, the poem opens with the speaker addressing her former lover. "Think now. If you have found a dead bird, not only dead, not only fallen, but full of maggots, what do you feel?" There are several other examples of direct conversational language in the poem, where the poet uses strong, punchy sentences. In stanza 4, she writes, "It is clear then." And in stanza 5, she states bluntly, "It is not accidental." Also, even the adjective discarded in the title that refers to her former lover is a very powerful use of simple, direct language. One reason why Adcock probably uses such direct language is that it creates the effect of a conversation with her former lover, where she's doing most of the talking. The speaker wants her message to her lover to be perfectly clear. Just like her language, he needs to go away and leave her to get on with her life. The sixth heading is form. The poem has six stanzas, each being composed of four lines. A four-line stanza is called a quatrain. There is no formal rhyme pattern in the poem. This probably suits a poem that is heavily focused on decay and revulsion. Adcock wanted to avoid creating a sense of harmony that may occur if she used a regular rhyme pattern. However, while there is no full rhyme, there are examples of half rhyme. Notice how lines 2 and 4 of each stanza almost rhyme. For example, fallen and revulsion, changes and scavengers, or fetters and shudder. This may suggest that while she feels revulsion towards her lover, she herself remains positive for the future. She takes control of the situation, and it will be her decision over time whether to look on him with less revulsion. Note too how the poet uses enjambment or run-on lines in stanza 2 to capture the sense of the endless movement of wriggling maggots. Can you see other examples of this technique in the poem? The next heading is sound. While the poet decided not to use perfect rhyme, there are several examples of interesting patterns of sound within the poem. In stanza 1, for example, can you see the repetition of a particular sound? Did you notice how often the poet uses that F sound in words such as if, found, fallen, full, and feel? Have you any suggestions as to why she may be doing this? Is that F sound a pleasant sound? Do you think it is a rather abrasive sound, perhaps to convey the poet's initial anger and upset that her affair has ended? Can you see that the poet repeats this F sound in the final stanza? Adcock also uses alliteration in stanza 2, where the words stench and scavengers paints a very gruesome picture of the decaying bird. Interesting also how the double G in wriggling and the M in munching in stanza 2 brilliantly link back to the word maggots in stanza 1. The next heading is tone and mood. So, tone reflects the speaker's attitude to her lover in the poem. We get a sense on reading this poem of a speaker who, despite being hurt by a relationship breakup, remains strong and purposeful. The speaker's tone is commanding throughout. She tells her lover to think now and to consider the dead bird analogy carefully. She orders him at the end of the poem to go away. She is, as the title suggests, the one giving strong advice, while he is now powerless and discarded. The tone does not take us inside the heart of the speaker in any great detail. Instead, the tone remains detached and matter-of-fact. She dwells more upon her lover's feelings than her own and demeans him for being eaten up by self-pity and crawling with unlovable pathos. It seems in her eyes he now appears as a pathetic figure. The mood of the poem reflects what we feel having read the poem. Many readers don't feel sorry for the speaker because she appears to remain a very dignified and assured person. She does not appear to be wallowing in self-pity. She does not seem to be asking for her sympathy. While she has been hurt, she seems determined not to become a victim and instead to take control of the situation and to move on from it. But what about the discarded lover? Do you think he has been humiliated? Do you feel he deserved to be spoken to in this way, or do you feel sorry for him? The final heading is personal response. Did you find this an interesting poem? Was it confusing, or could you understand why the poet used the image of the dead bird? Would you say that this central image added to the appeal of the poem? Did you think the poem was insightful? Did it have something interesting to say about relationships and breakups? Perhaps it made you think about relationships in your own life. What was your favourite stanza in the poem? Explain why you found this stanza appealing.